Joe Jackson first appeared on the pop music radar in 1979 with his long-playing record, Look Sharp. Best-selling albums followed, Night and Day, Jump and Jive, Body and Soul, Laughter and Lust. In 1994, when his recording, Night Music, was released, he appeared on our show, and I asked him then if he was writing a symphony. Yes, as a matter of fact, he was. He'd wanted to write one since he was 13 years old, but told us that 13-year-old kids from a working-class background in the south of England just don't write symphonies. Joe Jackson's Symphony No. 1 just won a Grammy Award. He has written his autobiography, A Cure for Gravity, and has just released a new CD, Night and Day 2.
It's a hell of a town. Smoke coming up through the holes in the ground. Hell of a town. Plenty of devils for taking you down. Any time of night and day.
It is our good fortune to welcome Joe Jackson to our studio. He is sitting at the Steinway we have in Studio 4A. He has promised to play it. Thanks for coming in, and it's a real pleasure to meet you.
Thanks.
This new recording, Night and Day 2, it's not sequel, it's not Son of Night and Day. but do you feel like you're revisiting something?
Yeah, not trying to recreate something from 1982. I'm sort of picking up on some of those themes and then taking them further, I think, picking up where I left off. The inspiration for both records is New York City more than anything else.
I'm walking here. I'm talking here.
And it's the same kind of sound. I mean, in both cases, I think when I did Night and Day in 82, I was looking for a fresh sound. And what I did was got rid of the guitars and just built the music around my keyboard playing with percussion and some strings. And I think that, I didn't even realize this until recently, which is really weird, but it's probably because my first instrument was the violin. I also studied percussion, played percussion in orchestras and things as a teenager, and became a keyboard player. So these are the things that I relate to the most. And something about combining just keyboards with percussion and definitely a Latin influence, you know, Latin percussion, which I love, and strings. It was just a sound world that I really liked. It seemed to really work for me.
It was on a summer night, she says, a year ago today. Packed, the place was packed. Chico's looking for some play. He wore a satin shirt and said a prayer to Yemaya.
You used the same percussionist that you used on Night.
Yeah, Sue Hajopoulos.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, I wasn't finished with that sound. There was still a lot more to do with that. And actually, another album of mine, Heaven and Hell, has basically the same combination as well.
On this new CD, you are using a lot of women, in addition to Sue, your percussionist, but Marianne Faithfull. Talk a little bit about her participation and getting her to sing Love Got Lost.
Yeah, well, I was working on this song, Love Got Lost, and I had the idea of a character. I mean, most of the songs on this record, I had a character in mind, because I just think that that's a way of talking about things that makes it so much more personal and real. And the character I had in mind is a woman that I think I've seen many times, you know, on the subway or something, going to work with her briefcase, an executive businesswoman. And I just imagined that she has this whole inner life that no one knows about, that she's a secret romantic, and that she goes to the opera to indulge her romantic side, but she goes alone because she's left no time in her life. Mm. For any love. So it's this very sad song. And as I was writing it, I thought, oh my God, Marianne Faithfull could sing this. This would be so perfect for her. She has to do it. So I sent her a tape of the song, and she didn't listen to it. She refused to listen to it because she decided she wasn't going to do any more guest appearances with anyone. And I didn't know this at the time, you see. And here I am thinking that she's the only person that could possibly sing this song. So it took me 2 months to persuade her to listen to the tape. And finally, just as I was about to give up, in despair, I might add, because I couldn't imagine who else could have sung the song, the phone rang one day and I picked it up and this voice said, "Hello, is that Joe?" And I said, "Oh my God, I know who this is." And she said, "I love this song. It's a showstopper. We have to do it."
Is that her, the picture of her on the liner notes with the hair sort of up and a little raincoat and a briefcase?
Right. Well, we took the guest, because there's two other guest singers on this as well, and we kind of put them into character in the pictures, the sort of the character that they're playing in the song. And Marianne really got into this character. And as you said, with the whole bit, you know, the hair up and the suit and the briefcase and the rolled up paper under the arm and all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost scary. It was almost too much, you know. And she almost looked too desperately like this sad character in the song.
Yeah. You're going to play a song for us from the CD, one that's called Stranger Than You. This is so much like New York, I think, because New York is a city that there's a lot of room for eccentricity.
Yeah, the great city of misfits.
Yeah. Given that Night and Day, the first one, was about New York, and I'm thinking 1982, boy, that was the New York of, you know, Bonfire of the Vanities, and, you know, 80s New York is so different from New York now.
Yeah, I don't know. This is opening a can of worms, because I think a city like New York, it's going to go through cycles always. And I've known it long enough now to have seen that happening. I mean, I think it goes up and down, but there are certain constants. You know, it's always going to be New York.
Yeah. Stranger Than You, Joe Jackson at the piano.
At a bar on 43rd at 1:45. Met my friend the Chinese Elvis and hoisted a few. He talks like Mickey Mouse and sees with X-ray eyes. Lives in a cardboard house. I almost gave him the prize till you came along. Thanks for opening my eyes. Things you do, right or wrong, it should come as no surprise when you live in a town where there's always somebody stranger than you. Stranger than you. All his private parts with a permanent screw. He sleeps on a bed of nails that came from outer space. And in my taller tales, I gave him pride of place till you came along. Thanks for opening my eyes. Things you do, right or wrong, it should come as no surprise when you live in a town where there's always somebody stranger than you. Stranger than you. Stranger than you. about this love bizarre. I could have stayed in bed, hiding from this freaky show. I'm happy that instead I knew just where to go. When you came along, thanks for opening my eyes. Things you do, right or wrong, it should come as no surprise. When you live in a town where there's always somebody stranger than you, stranger than you, stranger than you. Are you a boy? Are you a girl? Are you an oyster? Are you a pearl? Are you a fish? Are you a fowl? Are you an angel? Are you from hell?
Stranger Than You, performed by Joe Jackson. That's from his new CD, Night and Day 2. When we spoke in 1994, we didn't meet because you were in New York. I was here in Washington. And I asked you what music you were listening to. And you said to me at the time, oh, I don't listen to music much. And it wasn't until I read your book that I realized that you couldn't listen to music any longer.
Yeah, well, the time that you're talking about, 94, I had just come out of this period where I was actually quite depressed and blocked, you know, writer's block, for a couple of years where I really couldn't listen to any music.
Yeah.
It was a horrible experience, and I really just emerged from that. And that record, Night Music, was sort of my way of feeling my way back. I mean, now I listen to a lot of music.
Yeah. But why do you think you weren't able to, and then what was it that enabled you to listen to it again?
It's really hard to give a quick answer to that, because
sure.
I sort of tried everything until finally I sort of turned a corner at some point without really quite knowing how I did it. But I think what I did was I let go of a lot of things. I let go of trying to hold on to pop success or competing with anyone or worrying too much about what people expected of me and stuff like that. And I really had to get back to the fundamentals and get my priorities right and get back to why I got into this in the first place. I had to ask myself, well, why was I ever doing this?
Yeah.
I got back in touch with who I was when I was 15 and just still learning and just discovering music for the first time. I wasn't thinking about which song is going to be the single and is it going to get airplay and, you know, should we do a video? And if we do, will MTV play it? And on and on and on, blah de blah. And so I had to take it back to really being about music. And when I started to listen to music again, I would ask myself, well, what music do I really love? Regardless of whether it's, you know, fashionable or what anyone else thinks or anything. And I started from there just a little bit at a time.
Hmm. What music did you find that you really, really, really
well,
loved?
I went back to my sort of classical roots in a lot of ways. And yeah. I found that what I really loved was Beethoven's string quartets, you know? And I couldn't listen to pop music for a while. And that's changed since then. I mean, now I listen to a lot of pop music. I mean, now I like things that I never thought I would like.
How?
I like Madonna now. You know?
You do?
I used to hate her. I mean, you know, I like a lot of stuff now that I maybe thought that I shouldn't like or something. And I like a lot of dance music. I listen to a lot of drum and bass and, you know, electronic stuff. But, you know, I also listen to Bach.
You describe music as being a cure for gravity. It's from your book. You're talking about a gig you had and how at times music can really make you fly.
Yeah. And it's sort of a double meaning, really, the title, because it does refer to music and the way that music can lift you out of yourself and make you feel like you're literally flying, like all the normal rules of life have just disappeared, at least for that moment. I compare it to a religion. It's something that's bigger than yourself, that is very mysterious. You know, we don't really know where it comes from or how it works, how we get musical ideas in our heads, and you know, and yet somehow if you surrender to it and you go along with it, magical things happening. It enables you to connect with people, to connect with deeper levels of yourself or something, you know, but it ends up being very much like a religion.
Yeah.
And I talk about the moments that happen sometimes in a performance where the musicians are all completely in tune with each other and in tune with the audience, and everything just seems to click. And it's a really magical thing. Mm. And when it happens, it's worth all the other crap, you know, that you have to plow through.
I love where it comes in the scene where you're talking about, I mean, it's the glam rock days, and you're at this sort of pub, and you're changing in the van, and anybody who has ever been in any kind of band can certainly identify with those.
Yeah, there's a lot of like terrible old gig stories in this book, which I love. I mean, for years I've sat around with musicians swapping terrible gig stories. And the amazing thing is that the worse they are, the funnier they are, like when you look back on them from a safe distance. And I'm not quite sure how that happens, but I'm certainly glad it does. But there's a lot of them. I mean, because, you know, I grew up in this rather rough port town, Portsmouth, which was full of drunken sailors and skinheads fighting in the streets and stuff. And these are the kind of people that were my audiences starting out. So there was some pretty hair-raising yeah. stories that are in this book.
Some people call music divine madness, but you call it divine
sanity. Yeah, because I think I'd be a lot crazier without it.
Joe Jackson, his new CD on the Sony Classical label is Night and Day 2. His autobiography is called A Cure for Gravity. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.